Today on Talk About That, I go bargain hunting for fashionable eyewear and write celebrity announcements for the Nashville airport. Meanwhile, John gives a history lesson about restaurants and cuts line at the airport. Plus, a conversation about changing directions in life. Today's episode is not sponsored by Window Shades. Let us help you update your privacy policy. Let's go.
Well, Johnny, we're back at it again. It's another episode of Talk About That.
You can't stop us. You can only hope to contain us.
So many people have tried to stop.
No, people have been pretty supportive. And that's, you know, maybe that's our problem.
Yeah, don't you remember the old, like, church adage? It's a super, like, pseudo-spiritual thing. Like, well, you know what, brother? If you ain't getting some...
Why is this always a Southern person saying the dumb thing?
Well, I don't know. This is like, this is my...
I think it's a little culture shame that you've projected onto yourself.
I am Southern, so yeah. The shame is all
mine. So you think
mine.
It's okay if you just impugn every Southern preacher as idiots?
You know, brother, do you think...
Have what
you
do
ever,
they say, though?
Have you ever heard... They say, if something ain't going wrong, you must not be doing something right.
Or if things are going really bad, they go, the devil's fighting us.
Yeah.
We've got to... You'd be like, no, actually, you're making really irresponsible choices right now. No.
This
is the devil.
You are like on the fault line of my whole life right now. Like, I do believe there's a spiritual like battle against me. Also, I believe it's my fault for all of it. So then it's like, well,
it's
is this
one.
Bad decision or is this like an attack?
That's the thing. It's like social media has taken nuance away from our psyches. I consider myself a political centrist. And so, but we get pulled to the left and right. If you're on social media, it's like you're either a monster or you're a great person, and there's no nuance. It's like most things in life are a blend of empathy and personal responsibility. Like you have to approach them from those two things.
Right.
But like the people who are like, you're not empathetic enough, and then people are like, you don't show enough personal response. Like it's both.
Yeah.
We both handle our lives with both things. But when you deal with like the extremes. And extremists, you just go, oh, I guess I'm a monster. I don't know. I thought I'm not empathetic enough. Turns out I think this person should have had a little personal responsibility here. Well, what are you, a right-wing nut job? No, I just feel like it's both.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like we say what we believe, but then when we get down to it, we're like, oh, it turns out I really believe in, you know.
Well, it's because social media is based upon making definitive statements.
Well, it's based on getting clicks, which extreme viewpoints get more clicks.
They do.
Yeah.
I actually... Someone told me that the other day.
That's what we need. That's what's wrong with this.
We're not being extreme enough.
I came right out and said we're trying to be centrist here, and we're like, oh, that's the wrong way.
I was meeting with someone.
Not the way forward.
I'm going to be very vague.
Yeah.
It's going to sound very important. I was meeting with someone who's like a social media specialist who has worked in a lot of different fields for a lot of different people.
They call her the cleaner.
And,
what is she?
And they said, they were like, I've worked with people where that was the exact plan. They're like, look, here's how you grow. You make sure you have an opinion and you chime in on everything, especially the hot button stuff. When something blows up, you chime in with something huge and polarizing, and you'll get a lot of follows and you'll get a lot of likes.
Like,
and that's how they build it.
Plant your flag in this, whatever, and then you'll find people that worship that flag, whatever it is, whatever that banner of.
In some cases, the actual flag.
Yeah, in some cases, the actual flag.
So, that's all right. Wow,
we went deep all of a sudden. I don't know. I hadn't seen you in a while. How's your week, John?
You know, this is a very weird week.
Yeah.
A very, very weird week for reasons I really can't talk about.
Oh.
Even
you
though
can't
the name of the
about...
podcast is false advertisement.
It's like Talk About That redacted. We're just
I think I let the listeners in on a lot of my life.
We do.
You know?
We don't hold back usually.
But there's just sometimes things you just gotta, you know.
That's okay. Maybe for patrons. Patrons.
I don't know. I don't even know if the patrons. I'm not
but
sure anybody
we should
really
like
care.
Bait them. Hey, maybe there'll be a little tidbit.
Maybe if you up $5 a month, maybe a
little nugget.
You know what I hate, Johnny? Salesman. And I'm glad we don't do that.
No.
We're talk about
we
that.
Would never do
all
it.
All we do is we invite people
to talk about that podcast.com to see 208 archived episodes.
Right.
Listen to and see.
And if you, let's just say, like if you buy in now on the ground floor.
Uh-huh.
And you get a few patrons underneath you.
Hey, fortune favors the brave.
Fortune
Let me just
favors
say that.
The bold.
I think.
I don't know why they say brave.
I think my wife is so upset about that commercial.
I am too.
Because of brave.
They're probably quoting the actual original. Is it Greek? Is it Cicero? I don't know.
Romans. See the time of the Romans or something
but
like that.
But at the same time.
Yeah.
We've always heard.
just think it's such a funny commercial because it's like he's walking through the hallowed halls of history and all these CGI things are behind him of like Edmund Hillary climbing Everest and
right.
all these things. And it's like, yeah, but before Edmund Hillary did it, like, first of all, you're not Edmund Hillary just because you invest in Bitcoin.
Crypto, right.
And then second of all, a lot of those people died.
Right.
Yeah. Some of those people aren't coming back, and that's what we're seeing with crypto. I don't want to get into crypto because I know very little about it. I just know it seems very volatile, and I think that's kind of proving out. But anyway, Matt Damon told me fortune favors the bold. That's what we need to get more bold, and we're going to do it.
Oh, he said brave. He said brave.
He said brave.
I say bold.
You say bold. And beautiful. Fortune favors the beautiful.
That's very true.
Yeah.
But that doesn't help you with investment.
No. Just got to get more beautiful somehow.
Crypto sounds like a Marvel villain to me.
Uh-huh.
Like, they should bring that out next time. Spider-Man's fighting crypto, and he's, like, throwing bitcoins at you
or
something. Yeah.
I passed a...
stone.
No, I
passed... Oh, sorry.
I was in the middle of Indiana, and I passed a dealership, a Ford dealership. And, you know, the Ford dealerships will have, like, the name of the guy.
Uh-huh.
Bob Watson Ford.
Yeah.
That's the thing about owning a Ford dealership is you get to have your name and next to Ford logo. And the names of some of these guys are so funny. And what this guy's name was like Max Creech or something like that. And I was like, it sounded so much like a comic book. I was like, the Ford dealership is his origin story. Like something's going to go wrong. And then he's going to be like. Ooh.
And that's when he rose up.
He did.
Yeah.
Against the whatever, Spider-Man.
I don't feel like my origin story is dark enough, maybe. I don't know. Maybe even the dark parts, I'm just like, well, that was probably my fault, too. I guess that's what Batman does. He always thinks it's his fault. He should have protected his parents.
Right. Even like the Joker, he was a criminal who then, right? It wasn't like the Joker was a good guy who turned into a criminal, right? He was already a criminal.
Yeah, he was.
Like, even people who are.
They're already on a path.
They're already on a path, and then something like pushes him. Want that? Mm. Turn to.
I will say this. One of the better books I read. And I don't read a lot of books like this anymore. Years ago, it was by Andy Stanley. And it, God, I can't remember the name of it. But the whole premise.
Principle of the Path.
I think it was called The Principle of the Path.
Yeah.
Pal. And the whole, like, premise of The Principle of the Path was that.
Particularly for people who participate patriarchal. No, it's not.
It was like, and this is, I think, such a profound. I'll say this sometimes to people I'm speaking to.
It was profound to people?
It's profound to people. I will say things like this gets me, like, we're not here today for whatever reason, whatever, if you're at a church or you're at an event or whatever, like, we're not really here to put you on a path because you're actually already on one.
Right.
Like, we're here to point out the path. Wow, there's a lot of peace still.
Really
to
is.
Point out the path that you're already on, and then you can decide if that's the one, but the path you're on actually leads somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, that's that real profound part of it.
Who picked a peck of pickled peppers?
Is that he's like, look, you know, and I'll say this like in relationship counseling a lot, like, look, like usually dating, hey, your relationship is going somewhere. And if I get an I-40 and I go east, if I drive long enough, I hit Knoxville. Like that doesn't like there's no question about it. I will if I go I-40 east from Nashville, I will hit Knoxville. And so you just got to figure out what direction things are going. They're already going somewhere. But we act like in I think Christian circles even that we're going to listen, you're just floating around in the ether and we're going to put you on a path. It's like actually no, you're on a path. We just want to help you find the right one, Johnny.
I remember the C.S. Lewis quote about everybody wants to be progressive, but if you're headed the wrong way, the most progressive thing to do is to turn around and start heading the right way. And whoever turns around first is really the most progressive. It's like, whoa, it's a heavy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, I wish I
think I wish you'd turn around. That's what I guess I'm saying. You're clearly headed towards doom.
I have some minor resentment towards C.S. Lewis.
Okay.
Because he gets away. Number one, he's smarter than all the rest of us. And also he's dead.
Right.
So he can't say anything.
But we can parse his words. That thing, like, we don't have any sympathy for dead people anymore. Now we'll be like, you hear that he punched a goat one time or whatever. Whoa. And so now it's like C.S. Lewis can't be right on theology because he wants. And the goat came at him, if we're honest.
Be honest. Usually the move to do is to kick one. It's bold.
Yeah.
But fortune favors the bold.
You get right down there on your knees and you punch that goat. He's not coming back. I'll say that.
He might have come back. I don't know about goats in their
head. Oh, they have a hard head.
Yeah. Like punching the goat.
Well, I didn't say where. He punched him in the side.
Oh.
You go, it's like isn't there a thing in a liver punch that you do in UFC where it like causes like enzymes to like flood the person's system and they go limp and they just fall out?
That's the most horrific thing I've ever heard before.
Yeah, there's a place to punch somebody in a UFC fight where it just causes them to just go, bleh. It just makes them turn to goo.
Wow.
And I think it's liver. Huh. I wish I knew more about fighting. Yeah. I really have talked my way out of a lot of fights.
Yeah. No, I know. I've been there.
Being funny is just has helped me a great deal.
I
almost was in a fight that time with you where the guy was drunk and he was chasing his girlfriend on the interstate or whatever.
I was going to be in the fight too. It wasn't just going to be you. Yeah. But you were just up front.
You would have been like the Robin to my Batman.
Wow. What was that kid on Christmas Story? I would have been a, what were they called? You had a bully and a...
The henchman?
No, he had a sidekick. There's a name for the sidekick. Bully.
Goon?
Bully. It was, they were a goon. What was his name? So Scott Farkas was the bully.
Okay.
Toady.
Yeah.
I would have been your toady.
Yeah. Listen, you can be my toady anytime you want. You're my number one toady.
Feel a little froggy toady? I don't know.
You're one of my number one toadies. Yeah. But yeah, so I've avoided most fights, but I don't even know if I could find the liver. Even if I go like, oh, I'll punch this guy in the liver.
Right.
What does that do for me?
Are you sure it was the liver?
I've been having lower back pain in right above my tailbone. And it kind of comes and goes. And somebody said, yeah, I had this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm praying it's not kidney problems. Mm. And I go, that's what this could be?
I didn't even think of that.
I was just like, oh, my back's tight. And now this person's like, I bet your kidneys are shot. I'm like, what are you doing to me?
Your kidneys are shot.
I got to stop drinking these Diet Mountain Dews.
Yeah.
But
I have that thought a lot. Actually, I was eating really badly there for a while.
Yeah.
And I was having this pain like right on my left side, right under my heart.
Yeah.
Which is a bad thing. I have not good heart history in my family. So then I have to sit there, especially as a six, and fight all of the possibilities of what that could be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's digestive for sure. Because right now I'm eating good. I don't have any digestive issues happening. It's heartburn and stuff. It's like things moving. But I can go down the whole rabbit hole of like, not just what it might be, but then what treatment I have to go through, what I have to deal with, what my family's going to deal with when I'm gone. Like, it's really dark.
This is like Dickens.
Yeah, it's very...
Good grief.
And then it's like, oh, you know what I should have done is just to eat less carbs.
Uh-huh.
And that helped.
Yeah.
Now the pain's gone, so...
Huh.
Yeah.
So carbs cause pain. Is that what you're... In your world?
In my world, my indigestion and heartburn are way worse when I'm eating a carby diet, yeah.
Huh.
So, like, when I'm just, like, taking down the chips and salsa... The salsa is fine. It's the chips. Isn't that crazy?
So you could just chug salsa if
I could
you
chug salsa right now. In fact, I brought this jar.
Yeah. Be great.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Not a sponsor.
Well, we didn't even name it. Salsa itself is not like just...
Pace Picante.
Pace Picante. Do you watch The Food That Built America?
No. You've talked to me about it before, though.
You're missing out.
Yeah.
You would find it so... There's two seasons now.
Okay.
You'd find it super fascinating. Did you know...
that yeast.
Did you know? So it's always like, okay, when do you think TGI Fridays originated? What would you guess?
I don't know.
I'd guess 80s probably.
Yeah,
80s and 90s.
That's when became, yeah.
Yeah. Like another like O'Charlie's or another, you know, whatever. So TGI Fridays was the original like bar and grill restaurant.
Huh.
It's kind of like the original hamburgers were White Castles, which is now one of the lesser chains. So you kind of would assume. But there was a guy, so in New York post-World War II, dudes, like bars were only for guys, and they're just dark, musty, dirty places.
As
guys
they
go
as they
after
should
work
be.
And then hang out with other dudes. And
finally,
have a
break from the ladies.
And so, like, even in the 50s, I think, or late 40s, like, some women were not – they were not allowed in certain bars.
Huh.
Not some women. Women were not allowed in some bars. That's what I should say. And so when women then are flooding the workforce in the early 60s, especially, late 50s, early 60s.
They're like, we need to drink, too.
And especially in New York, where this guy – this is how it started. It's a true story. This guy goes into this bar, and he's just hanging out with a bunch of old dudes, a bunch of old, ugly dudes in an old, ugly place. He, like, turns to the bartender, and he's like, can we not get some ladies in here? Like he wants to meet women.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, women? We don't let women. So the guy went and started.
What are we need women for?
So he bought a bar.
Yeah.
and he fixed it up. You know, that he put the white and black stripe or white and red striped, uh-huh. you know, sort of awning, put some sort of,
because women love that.
Gosh, they love it. And so
like a moth to a flame.
And he basically created a place where single women could come after work to meet single men.
Interesting.
And it worked. Like immediately, it's like it is the first place. Now what people think of as bars, which is the place where you go to meet people.
Uh-huh.
That didn't happen until like the mid-60s in New York City with TGI Fridays, Johnny.
That is fascinating.
And then it began expanding, and now everyone used that model. And then, of course, eventually those kind of restaurants became more like family restaurants.
Yeah.
So that there's the other part of the history as you go through it. But, dude, it's fascinating to me because I think of something like that, and I just dismiss it as just another one of the chains.
Yeah,
it's the one that started it.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy?
What do you know about Applebee's?
They didn't mention Applebee's. I think it might have just been another... What, do you know something?
No.
Okay. Well, the juxtaposed part, there's always two things they follow in the episode. The other one was Benihana's. And that guy's story, which was crazy. The guy basically flew too close to the sun. He was like this Japanese immigrant son who started this, what we call hibachi in Laura. I'm sorry, honey, you're listening. You know the real name. It's not actually hibachi. That hibachi is something different, but it came to be known that in American culture. And so they didn't serve sushi because Americans wouldn't eat sushi. And he began this hibachi for the first time, and nobody was coming. And then he figured out one day watching one of the chefs do some of the knife tricks.
Did you say chefs?
Chefs.
have you pluralized chefs into chefs? It's like knives.
Sorry. What do you say? Do you say roofs or roofs? That's always a big one for me. I didn't mean to say chefs. It's a good thing I don't speak and write for a living.
Oh, my gosh.
At any rate, I'm not making much of a living.
Multiple chefs were just running in and out of that kitchen. Listen, there's too many chefs in this kitchen.
So, anywho.
Okay.
He figures out these guys are in this cool. And so he starts making the chefs learn all these tricks.
Yeah.
So that becomes like this spectacle. And that's the whole modern hibachi world where they're they're making the little onion volcano and they're throwing
the table
into your
is
mouth.
Right there. Yeah.
And so it became like
so funny thing. Because like I always think about that because if you go to a restaurant, a nice restaurant, and they seat you near the kitchen, it's a huge insult. But if you go to a hibachi place, they're literally like, hey, lean over this hot griddle.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It's like, this is fancy.
Yeah, but I didn't know Benihana was such a huge, like it took off everywhere. The only one I know of is in Dallas when we go there sometimes, but I'm not around.
Yeah, I think
it
used to be a bigger chain. It was in every major city. There was one of those.
Yeah.
But they faded in recent years.
And then last night was on Little Debbie and...
Really?
What's the other one with the little chocolate donuts?
Hostess?
So sorry. No, Hostess is not. The two major ones was Indenton or something.
Hold on. Intimans?
Intimans, thank you. I'm sorry.
Indentonmans?
Indentonmanshevs.
So you had Hostess, you got Dolly Madison.
So the one started in Chattanooga with oatmeal cream pies.
Right.
Okay. And
a classic.
And that's when then Intimans, yeah.
Yeah.
Intimans was doing like whole cakes, and they figured out, this is the fascinating thing, what she figured out was that they were still getting outsold in the supermarkets because people could see through the glass what they were ordering versus these boxes.
Oh, yeah.
So she came up with the plastic front to look
into
the box in the window. Now, they made their own, isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. They made their own bakery case in a box.
That's literally why she did it.
Huh.
So she could compete. And then when she started making those things, then they all started competing against each other, and they expanded oatmeal cream pies. And this dude, figured it out.
Yeah.
He came up with oatmeal cream pies to start. John, that's a pretty big deal.
Listen, that's pioneer.
And then he came up with Swiss cake rolls.
Yeah, that's a favorite.
Honey buns.
I like a Swiss cake roll from the fridge.
Really?
Yeah, because the chocolate doesn't get off on your hands. It doesn't melt off onto the little flaky chocolate coating.
Zebra cakes. He did those.
Yeah.
And then there was one more.
Zebra cakes have a surprising amount of calories. Have you ever eaten a zebra cake?
And then have
you ever looked at the... Oh, yeah, that's different.
That's delicious.
Those are very lean. Those are on keto. If you... a zebra cake, I got one of those ones at the gas station one time, and I was like, oh, a zebra cake, I'll have this. And I just inhaled it. And I looked at the wrapper, and it was 600 calories. I was like, what is in this? It's just pure lard?
It fit in the palm of my hand. How's that possible? I always find that funny when I've eaten... I gain more weight than the weight of the food I've eaten.
Yeah.
that seems impossible to me, like physically.
How does that?
Like, well, I ate a honey bun and gained 3 pounds.
How does your?
How is that possible?
How does your body know? It's like it's like a Sham Wow in there. The fat just it's soaking in and then expanding.
It is like a. It's like a, there's a Sham Wow inside of me.
Yeah.
Wow, isn't there a Sham Wow inside of all of us though?
There's got to be.
I mean,
it's the, which Sham Wow? Which Sham Wow do you feed? That's what you want. Wow. There's 2 Sham Wows in each of us.
I think I heard Joel Osteen say that.
Which.
He was like.
So we went to St. Augustine, and there was a restaurant called Osteen's, and it was a seafood restaurant called Osteen's, but it had like an O with apostrophe, apostrophe. You know, it's like an Irish place, I guess.
All the chefs.
Or an Irish owner. All the chefs came running out. Oh, how are you?
Oh, top of the morning.
I don't understand why. Yeah, it's an interesting like dichotomy of like an Irish person being like, make sure you get the apostrophe right because I want them to know this is a great seafood place. It's Irish seafood. Anyway, so maybe Irish seafood is really good. I'm being really culturally ignorant, but I just don't think of it as a place for great seafood. I think of it's like, when you think of Irish restaurants, you think of like, you know what I'm saying? Think of like whatever. It's more about the pint.
I wonder if we have Irish listeners. I just mailed a free book to one of our listeners in Australia.
Okay.
But I'm
Which is not Ireland.
It's not, but it's another English-speaking place. So I wonder if we have Irish and Scottish.
Somebody can come correct us on our cultural.
Yeah, reach out, guys.
Please be super indignant if you could.
Oh,
that'll
yeah.
really help.
You'd be like, my dad owns an Irish seafood joint.
You've never had Irish shrimp. It's the best.
Right.
Anyway, so we're there, and I was immediately like, let's take a picture of this sign. I told Kurt, we literally turned around. Sometimes I'll be driving past something, and I'll go, turn around. We got to get a picture of this. And I don't have the jokes yet, but I'm just like, this will be jokes.
Yeah.
I'll just take a picture of Osteen's restaurant, and it's like a big – it's got a big like crawfish on the front, like – with a top hat or something. I can't remember.
How was the crawfish posing again?
You know, crawfish are kind of bent over.
Hey, look at me.
He was like in midair. He's like, he has my spine.
Do I look delicious?
I'm a little hunched. He had a little, yeah. But anyway, I thought, okay. And then the joke that I came up with was holding the entree above your head and saying, this is my lobster, you know. But then other people were, you know, they put jokes in the comments, you know, which is always fun with something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Osteen's. I don't know.
Where there's... I mean, not a sponsor, but
was no.
It, you didn't eat there, though.
I didn't eat there. That's what's funny is like 5 or 10 of the comments were like, that place is actually amazing. They didn't want to like participate because they were like, don't you dare besmirch the name of a fine quality restaurant.
How dare you?
I would never besmirch.
You use besmirch more than the average person, and I'm very impressed with it.
Thank you.
Do you have a synonym to besmirch?
Impugn.
Ooh, use that one today, too. It's
Listen, I'm a dumb smart guy. I got street smarts.
You're probably.
I think I pick up words from like shows I watched or things I've read, and I understand their context, and then I go, and I don't think of consciously using them, but I go, oh, that's a smart way to say that. And so I don't know. I just kind of whatever.
Well, you're the smartest guy I know. So
no,
I know.
Stop
no,
it, John.
You are.
Come on.
So my wife is the smartest person I know.
Oh, boy.
You're
Here
the smartest guy. That's why we had that one epic Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, that's true.
Where Laura and I took you down.
That's right.
Our powers combined
created
Captain Trivia.
Captain Trivia.
Voltron assemble. You're hard to beat. So
it's okay. I don't even remember that loss, actually. I blocked it out.
Well, that's
to me, I'm undefeated.
Very convenient.
In my mind.
We call that delusion.
Oh,
and there's I have the Enneagram for you, 12-step recovery, therapy. I have all kinds
of
things.
What is the delusional Enneagram number? You're like, I'm actually a 12. How do you like that? I made up my own Enneagram.
That'd be great.
I'm the best.
I mean, what if there is 12 and we just don't know it, Johnny?
We've not, like, yes. That could happen. It's like Pluto used to be a planet, then it wasn't. Now it is again.
Is it right now?
I think it is.
I don't know.
I think they've reclassified it.
You know, we're just making up names for things in space that we call it. Be like, how dare you not call it a planet? It's like,
true.
Know, guys, it's been the same the whole time.
Yeah.
It was there before we were.
What if the planet's like, my name is Dave? <You know?
laughs> Exactly. Like, it's funny how we're so offended by just our own nomenclature. That's really what we're.
Oh, look at you throwing in our own lexicon.
Lest we forget.
Someone's a little author over here.
I know me some words, too.
You do.
Wait.
Chev's being one. It's fine.
Colloquialism.
Here's the thing. When I'm on the road, I'm trying to write more and make time to write. And then the other day, I was reminded of something. I was in Nashville Airport. Well, first of all, there's a comedian in Nashville whose name is Laura Peake. She's in L.A. now, but she's from Nashville. And she's so funny. And she was doing this bit at a show that I was on. She was running it backstage. She goes, do people here know who Jody Messina is? I go, oh, yeah. And she goes, I got this bit I'm doing about Nashville Airport and how the country artists make announcements.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
And so she goes, it's kind of like funny, but then it's also unsettling. Yeah. And so she, her example's like, hi, I'm Reba McEntire, and we're at a threat level yellow. Everybody take cover. And it made me laugh so hard. But then she said, hi, this is Jody Messina, reminding you, if you must see something, you must say something. And it made me laugh so hard. But it reminded me, like, I said, me and Rick Roberts, a buddy of mine, we had this string back in 2011 or so where somebody made an example about that on their Facebook. Like, I hate the announcements in the Nashville airport right. because they're just like, hey, this is whatever. This is Garth Brooks. No smoking or whatever. And you're just like, why do I need Garth Brooks to tell me that? But it is kind of charming and funny in a way. And so I remember I went back and forth and I wrote like 20 jokes that were Nashville. And I made it like a hashtag. This is 2011. This is early days of Twitter for me.
Early.
And I found them. So I wanted to run them for
this
you.
This is
okay?
11 years ago. Yeah, I'm ready.
This is the early days of me even doing comedy. Let's see. Here's one. Attention, passengers on Spirit Airlines. This is Tim McGraw to remind you to live like you were dying. Okay. Let's see. This is Lady Antebellum. The correct time is 1:15. So that's one. Hey, Nashville Airport, this is Waylon Jennings. If you hear a voiceover from me during a flight, something bad is about to happen. That's kind of a Duke Boys reference. Hey, Nashville Airport, this is Brad Paisley asking for your patience as the TSA agents check you for ticks.
These are older song references. These are older songs. I like about it because it's 2011.
Hey, this is Taylor Swift reminding you that air travel is a great option while you're having your auto tuned. Swifties are going to come after us
that's
for that
mean.
One. This is Keith Whitley.
By the way, I think Taylor Swift's she has a great voice.
I think she's come along a long way.
You're still being judgy.
She's had some pitchy moments.
I think maybe she was great the whole time.
This is Keith Whitley. Our flight crew would like to remind you that you say it best when you say nothing at all. That one's pretty apt right now. To those of you affected by the delay, this is Richie from Lone Star. We took a cab and I'm already there. I don't even remember writing these. Hey, this is Marty Stewart reminding you that your mullet now counts as a carry-on item. This is John Fogerty asking you to fly business class. Put me in coach. That's kind of a stretch because he's not really a country artist. Okay. He's more of Americana.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Carrie Underwood asking you not to carve your name into our leather seat. This is Lee Greenwood. I'll gladly stand up next to you unless the seatbelt light is on. That's so dumb. It's dumb.
Ooh, can't breathe. I had an old man wheeze on that one.
This one. This is Faith Hill. If there's an emergency, oxygen masks will fall from the ceiling. Remember to just breathe. This is Charlie Daniels reminding you to fly Nashville. We are in a bind, way behind, and ready to make a deal. They're not anymore. Well, air prices are really up. Air travel prices.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, it's a timely reference. Yeah. This is Charlie Rich reminding you that you can have a private security screening when we get behind closed doors. That's a really old one. And the last one is, hello, you can have your luggage wheeled around to your car with one of our Porter Wagners.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Did I tell you the last time when we were in Orlando trying to get out, like, was it Orlando?
Do they have famous Orlandans? Orlandoans?
Where were we? I can't remember where we just went.
Okay.
Earlier this spring.
You went to the beach, right?
I did.
Wow. John Snapp.
Jeez, man. I can't recall which. It may have been Tampa, but I think it was Orlando Airport. It was Orlando.
Yeah.
It was a cruise. Thank you. And we flew back. It was Port Canaveral. Sorry, guys. Lost
man,
me there for a minute.
John's slipping.
And so we came and we rode the shuttle to the airport.
Uh-huh.
And Johnny, when I got to the airport, they were wrapped. There was a line. We were probably, I don't know, 3 hours early.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 hours early, 2.5. And there was a line outside of at least 1,000 people. Outside.
Oh, no.
Lined up.
To get tickets? To try to check in,
yeah.
Oh, no.
I go inside past that line just to see, and there's another line of 1,000 inside.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, we're not going to make this flight.
Are you guys pre-check?
Yes.
Okay.
But
the pre-check line was big, too.
We had to check bags, though. That was the problem. They were all there to check bags.
Yeah.
So I'm just standing there like, we're not gonna make it. Like, this is 2,000, no lie, probably 2,000 people in line. And mm-hmm. There's a bunch of flights delayed. There was weather coming in all over the country.
Yeah.
And so we had snow coming into Nashville. And so that was, you know, part of the deal. And I was just like, you are kidding me. And all of a sudden, this lady walks up to me. She's like, hey, she's one of the porters.
Yeah.
She was like, hey, you know, if you'd like, you know, we work off of tips. I could go check your bags in for you. I'm just looking around like, have I just been looked at an angel?
Is this a scam?
But an angel.
Well,
just
or
come?
Is it like a? And then she takes off with your bag.
I didn't really care at that point.
Okay.
But yeah. Either I was like, one. Oh, sorry, my bags got stolen. We gotta go.
That reminds me though. There was a time, one time, when an angel stole my bags.
Wow.
So it can happen.
It can.
You've got to be careful out there.
You never know. Hey.
I was like, why is this 7 foot tall guy
like
saying
Jesus,
fear not, and then
fear
taking
not.
My bags.
You will not get your bag back. And so she took the bags
and
moved in front of the line. There was some side. They had a side like
look at this.
Area. She went over, checked them, brought us back the tags.
Oh, my gosh.
And we went and
you
walked right
her.
Through. Oh, I tipped her.
Yeah.
I think I tipped her big.
Yeah.
And it was worth every penny.
Yeah.
But I was like, why did you pick us? Like, I must have looked desperate. It was like, oh. Because everyone looked desperate.
Yeah.
But why?
You don't feel bad that you kind of skipped the process?
No.
Okay.
Maybe that's part of the problem. I felt fortunate. Mm. And I was like, maybe these other people, maybe she's asked everybody else.
Right.
I don't know. So I don't know, Johnny.
Hmm.
I needed my expectations to be met. That's a big thing.
And you looked up to thank her and she was gone.
She was gone.
There never was a porter.
But she
she died here 40 years ago on this very night.
Wouldn't that have been crazy? Yeah. I was like, well, how did she take my money?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Okay.
Because if that would have been the case,
right,
she would have needed the money properly.
No.
Johnny, where she was going, they don't need money.
No.
Or roads. I almost quoted
either one.
Back to the Future there.
That's fine.
It was very interesting.
We don't
so,
need
yeah,
porters.
Hey, when in doubt, guys, if you see a big line, look for the porter.
Look for the porter with a Wagner.
With a Wagner. Porter.
And say, I will always
those
love
are good,
you.
Man. Can you recycle them somehow?
Maybe. I'll figure it out.
We'll
figure it out.
I mean, now you've now recorded two Dry Bar specials.
Uh huh.
And your special that went on Amazon. So
yeah.
Now, like you need all the jokes you can get as you write. Like, can you go back and recycle old things?
I need somebody to send me jokes.
How
can I do them?
I constantly think about old things you said that were funny, and I'll text them to you.
Yeah.
That I think you should rework into jokes now, and you never do.
I'm trying to keep my eyes peeled on the road, though, because I do see things. Like, I posted, there was, like, I was driving through this town called Napanee, Indiana, and they had this building, this nondescript, weird metal building. And the sign, big sign with like a stone. It almost looked like the front of a subdivision, like with stone columns and then like the wood between.
Yeah.
And on it, it said, Lamination Plant 59. And I was like, So I turned around and took a picture of it and said, this is my favorite obscure Bible verse. And it just says, it sounds like a second lamination.
Yeah, second lamination.
But anyway,
it's about being transparent.
It is more about, and being hermetically sealed.
Oh, my God.
Unto the day of salvation.
Oh. And he sealed you.
Protected from
outside
elements. Mm. But you're in the fire. You're in the heat.
Oh, boy, are you?
You feel the heat.
And the pressure.
But it's for your own protection.
Yeah. Literal protection. Page protection.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. But anyway, you got to keep your eyes peeled sometimes. But sometimes when you're in these small towns, and then I talked about it on stage, and I got laughs with it, but I always think, I kind of prefaced it all by saying, like, I was born in a small town in East Tennessee, you know, or whatever. So it's not like I'm making fun of your tiny town. I get it. I understand like tiny town culture.
Right.
But this is really ridiculous. Like there was one place I passed to that was like Glenn's Tire.
Uh-huh.
And I just said, yeah, I pulled in. He's just got the one tire. And he said it wasn't for sale, which that's a weird exchange.
Why the sign?
What's your deal?
Yeah. This guy's super proud of his tire.
Yeah. Hey, come on back.
Hey, we get it, Glenn. You got a tire.
Yeah, it's like a museum back there. He just has it.
It was an amazing tire.
Yeah.
I was shocked by.
Right. It's like there was somebody like that in Knoxville or near Knoxville where I grew up in Fountain City. And it was like Glenn's Florist or Bob's Florist.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Because it's like.
You actually own the flowers, not the florist.
Yeah.
You've got someone tied up in the back.
Or it's just like, this is just the florist that I use. I can direct you. If you hire me, right. I'm a middleman.
I'll help you find the florist.
I'll help you find the florist.
I have this
should be like Bob's Flowers.
Yeah. It really is almost though, like that they've, yeah, like that they're.
They own the florist.
Inappropriately, you know, working the florist.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is my florist. In
they hold it above their head. This is my florist. I can have what it says I can have.
I wonder if our listeners get that reference.
I think so. Osteen, come on.
Yeah.
He's on TV.
It was just Osteen. How I've said in 1,000 services for someone to that. This is my Bible. I believe everything.
Yeah, but it came from Osteen, right?
I don't know.
I think it came from Osteen's dad. It came from the senior.
Is that John Osteen?
John Osteen.
Do you think it did? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think
John used to do it, and then Joel just kind of like took it over to be folks.
But I've seen lots of people do it, but they never gave them credit.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying?
What a bunch of hacks out here.
I don't think that often preachers understand.
Have you ever borrowed a sermon point?
Borrowed.
Given credit? I've borrowed books.
You know what I will sometimes say, because I don't want to get them.
I think a wise theologian once said, and then you just kind of go into it.
Well, I'll go, you know, I was reading a book this week and it said, I'll say that. I may not say what it was.
Okay.
But like, I'll the series we're in now called The Lies We Believe. And I think I told them in the front, and I told them it was, hey, a lot of this content or this idea, because I've taken it different places, is based upon Live No Lies, John Mark Comer's book.
Yeah.
But then we kind of adapted for the things because we have very specific things. Basically, I made it better. I think is what I'm saying, Johnny.
Yeah, what I did
if
was
he would have used me as a collaborator, this would have been.
I took his brittle, broken pieces of an idea, and I made it into a mosaic of grace and truth.
Right. Well, I mean, he's a best-selling author, but
yeah.
It could have been a multi-bestseller.
What if he had had you along for the ride?
Actually, what I believe is if he'd have had me along for the ride, it would have tanked the project. I kind of have that central belief. Like, sorry, authors, if you're listening, you're thinking about hiring me, but I do live with that like, oh, I'm the element that's going to make this not be a bestseller.
I think that's a lie, and you need to lay off my buddy John.
Well, I'm trying.
I'm pretty fond of him.
If only there was a sermon series.
Why don't you take it easy on my pal John?
Yeah, I kind of like him.
Why don't you live less lies?
I'm trying to live them. But do you know how that would be disproven?
What
one of those books be a bestseller? That would be actually. I had a CBA bestseller as a collaborator.
CBA,
Christian Bookseller Association. Oh, so they sold quite the vertical.
You're assuming that everybody's going to know what
sorry,
the CBA,
CBA
is.
Vertical
when
marriage.
I hear CBA, I think a collective bargaining agreement with.
I had one of those too.
It didn't work out in your favor.
They were on the Today Show like multiple times.
Okay.
So on the. David Ann Wilson.
Yes.
Yeah, Vertical Marriage.
That's right. And then you did Diagonal Marriage.
Right. Then like
this. How to be the bishop in your home.
That's good, Johnny.
Because you can move diagonally.
You can, You think they got that? Oh, you think
horizontal marriage? It's like a risque follow up. Hey, whoa! Hey, look out!
Yeah, it's We were worried because there's another book called Vertical Church.
Oh, okay.
But we kept the name anyway, and it worked out.
Yeah. That you didn't get like a cease and desist?
No. That was James McDonald's book, who had the big, if you've listened to the Rise and Fall of Mars.
Oh, Taylor, right. He was involved in that.
Well, he had his own thing.
Yeah, his own deal.
He was connected to Driscoll.
Yeah.
They were friends and everything, but then he had his own thing at his church, which was up north somewhere. Ohio, maybe?
Sure. Illinois. Nobody's fact-checking this.
I'm sure.
People have already turned it off.
They're like, we don't care.
So I need to give you a little bit of credit because I got on my trip. We left St. Augustine and literally had to get on a 6 a.m. flight from St. Augustine, come back home. So we had to get up at like 3 in the morning to drive from St. Augustine to Jacksonville Airport. So Curry goes, hey, we're going to go. And my agent let us use his condo. And I was like, yeah, we got this condo, but 3 nights, blah, blah, blah. But on the third night, we're like having to like figure out, okay, do we go to sleep? Do we stay up because we have to get up so early? All that said, it's chaos because she's going back home after we get to Nashville Airport, and I'm getting on another flight to go to Pittsburgh, and that's the reason we got up so early and came home early is because I have a show on Wednesday night. So in all that hubbub, I left my sunglasses in the car.
Oh.
So I get to wherever, Pittsburgh, and it's just like glaring down. I'm like, what in the world? So I took a page out of the old John Driver.
Dollar Tree.
I went to Dollar Tree, bro. And I didn't get one pair. I got two pair.
Bro, you could have got 10.
You can't hide money. I thought about it. I thought, let's just load up.
I don't wear those anymore.
I know you don't. You're big time.
I had two people buy me gifts.
I know. We've talked about this on the podcast. Yeah. It's fine, John. You're bougie.
But I still own those. Like if something goes wrong, I have them.
They're not bad.
Did you get the aviators?
No.
Well, that's what I
get. I got like the ones that almost look like the, they got the little piece of metal right here, the little dink, the little diamond shaped dink, you know, like, the little plastic
like the
Ray-Ban kind of knockoffs.
Hold on, I got it. You got like the
I don't know what the style
George
is.
McFly glasses.
Yeah, yeah. They're a little like that. So I get them, and not only does it not say UV protection, it says extra UV. So it's just, it's letting it
right,
all
right, let it all right. That's good.
Which I thought that's interesting.
It helps your eyeballs to tan. It's, you got to get that base tan on them.
Yeah, but I just, I had to get them because I just didn't want to be like Squinty McGillicuddy driving down the Big Pupils LaRue or whatever. Whatever nickname people would give me for.
I can't take a picture if the sun's shining. Like it.
Yeah.
You have blue eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking.
You're looking right at
me. Well, I'm trying to think. Would you call,
you're so attentive.
Would you call them blue? Or?
They change a little bit in the winter, I've noticed. They get a little more silver. Wow. I'm like part Timberwolf, I think.
Maybe you're like Crypto. You're the villain.
My eyes are very volatile.
They turn silver.
Yeah. Don't.
Shocker.
Anyway. So I get the glasses and I'm like, listen, I got two pair of sunglasses, a gigantic can of Diet Coke and a candy bar.
Did you get a steak out of the freezer?
And it was under $5.
Oh yeah.
I was like, they gave me change back. I'm like, this feels wrong. So I get in the car and then the label, like the sticker is not coming off the sunglasses.
No, they don't come off.
And so you have to just like scrape the glue. It's like, what is wrong? Just put a good sticker on
the sticker's wrapped around the metal.
It's so bad.
It's very bad.
So I'm like, all right. So I take a key and I'm trying to scrape it. And I'm like, this is okay. It's still worth it. I didn't pay $20 for sunglasses that I'm going to lose. So I'm on that trip. I was gone 3 days. When I get back for, listen, so I got one set. I got one pair that I've not opened yet and they're in the rental car seat. And I got a bunch of junk and fast food wrappers, as is my custom. And I'm going. And then I go to return the rental car. And at that point, I left a pair of sunglasses in the hotel room in Napanee, Indiana. But I was like, I got these. I got the second pair. But it was cloudy out, so I didn't need them that day. I returned the rental car. I'm loading up my stuff, and I'm getting ready to get on my plane to come home. And I left the other pair.
You lost three pairs of glasses on one trip.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
This is why I need to buy 10.
See, here's the thing. Since I bought expensive ones, I've not lost them. Either pair.
I think that's...
Hey, guys, that
didn't you say you did lose them once? And there's like a warranty? Even if you lose them, they'll give you a new pair?
Did I lose it or did it break?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
But I'm saying like, that's a thing. It's like, now I will say this, I don't lose my phone anymore. But I think that's not about how valuable the phone is. That's because it never leaves my side. We're so addicted to our phones. So it's not because like, whereas in culture before, like, oh, I got a phone. Where is my phone? Right. Now it's like, I know where my phone is at all times because it's always in my hand.
Phone, speak to me.
Yeah, exactly.
I am here, Dave.
Whatever. Do you have Hey Siri turned on your phone? Where you can just randomly say,
Hey Siri.
Where you can just ask it things and it'll be like,
no, I don't.
Yes, John.
Apparently.
I don't have it turned on. And the reason is you have to say Hey Siri like 20 times so it learns your dialect rhythms.
And you don't want it knowing.
No, it wouldn't figure me out. It kept going, keep saying Hey Siri. And I was like in a parking lot. And I was like, Hey Siri. And it wouldn't finally get, you know, like when you put your fingerprint on and it finally like,
maybe Siri's
gives up.
Words of affirmation. It's just like more.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's Siri, you need to get control of your own emotions.
Finally was like, why is it always Hey Siri and not how is Siri? What about me?
Yeah, no kidding.
That's my Siri voice, by the way.
Once you
that's
name
a terrible Siri,
Siri
impression.
We did make Siri now. I mean, her entire existence revolves around us.
There probably are kids named Siri, and it's like, or Alexa.
Ooh.
There's probably a lot of Alexas.
Yeah.
And they've probably taken their middle name now. Whatever that middle name was is very important.
What if
so if you name, Alexa? If you named your kid like Alexa and then you used like an old family name, and now that kid's like,
Fanny.
I can either be Alexa and be teased or I can be Fanny and be teased. Which one is worse?
Yeah. Hey, Fanny.
Yeah.
Hey, Alexa.
Right.
Or maybe it's like an honor thing, though, because you're like in the culture. Like, I wish my name was Alexa. People would say it all the time. Everyone knows it.
But then if like your friends call out, hey, Alexa, like all their devices, they alert.
Yeah.
So you just have to change it just for convenience.
Why don't they think of that when they picked it? They picked a real person's name.
Yeah.
They could have.
I think they didn't want it to be like, you know, Corbo, because it sounds too robotic. They wanted it to be like a friend. So
I
they
like
chose
Corbo. Let's do that one. Hey, Corbo.
But it's spelled with a Q. It's like a... You know what I'm saying?
It's very... I have a friend named Corbin. I can start calling him Corbo.
Corbo, yeah. Corbo's your buddy.
What is that, Corbo?
Corbo's your buddy.
He's Canadian. He probably would be like, what did you just say to me?
Yeah. A?
He says, I love it. He says process.
Oh, does he?
Yeah,
does
he
it say
process.
Vitamins?
I don't know if got him to say vitamins yet.
Schedule. They got a little English vibe to them sometimes. A little British.
Yeah.
Canadians have a little British influence.
Johnny,
in
you
that.
Speak English.
All right.
Barely.
I speak Corbo.
You speak Corbo. Corbos, that's a funny, that's good.
But I'm saying, like, I think they didn't want it to be, this is your at-home robot, because that scares people. But when you say, oh, it's an Alexa, they go, oh, this is, seems like a family friend.
Yeah. What was the name of the robot in iRobot?
I don't know. The movie with Will Smith where they attack him and, I don't remember. Yeah. Maybe it was Corbo. Maybe.
That'd be crazy.
Maybe.
Oh my gosh.
Coincidence?
If you see Alexa's like little thing suddenly have two red eyes, that's the telltale. Like that's the key. Run.
Every sci-fi movie, that's the red eye. Have you ever? We've talked about this like a million episodes ago because I think it's back when Dane was with us and we were talking about the creepy stuff in the Denver airport, like all the conspiracies. And there's a statue of a gigantic horse, and what do they call him? It's a big blue statue of a horse, and they call him Demon. I can't remember it. But anyway, he's got red eyes. And the story behind him, and this is a true story, the sculptor who was making that horse, a piece of it broke off and killed him.
Wow.
And somebody else had to come in and finish the horse.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Jeez.
It like severed like an artery or something and he like died later.
And so they gave the horse red eyes because of it?
No, I think it was art. Maybe the red eyes weren't already a design.
I don't know.
If you ever fly into Denver though and you see that, I mean, there's pictures of it that you could pull up, but like it is.
Whew. You would either, if you were the family, you'd either want them to finish the horse to honor.
Yeah.
Or like get rid of the horse. I don't ever remember this again, you know?
Yeah.
But maybe it was like if it obviously if they had
he's been, up on his like he's in attack mode too. He's up on his haunches.
Do horses attack really?
Well, he's up there saying like, "Hey, look out, planes."
But if he commissioned whatever. If he commissioned the sculpture, I guess you need in order to pay out for the family, you probably need to finish it.
Maybe?
I don't know. I've never done a sculpture.
I wonder if there's like a little placard down at the base of it that honors the guy.
I don't know.
Cuz it's like near the runway. It's not like it's just like you can go walk up to it, I think.
I can remember, by the way, when I was a youth pastor, maybe you were here for this retreat, that one of the things I did at the end was I gave all the kids Play-Doh and told them to sculpt something like creatively out of their vision for the future and all that. But it wasn't great. You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you really make out of Play-Doh? What was I thinking? What are they going to do with that? I was trying to be like super...
Were there a lot of snakes?
A lot of, we just want to run from the snakes, you know?
Yeah.
Man. I think I made a crown out of mine, maybe.
I'm going to find the name of this because there's like a funny name that they've given it.
They give a funny name to a horse that killed the
sculptor? No, but I'm saying it's like, it's a...
Maybe it's a horse with no name.
Okay, I'm going to show you this picture and you're going to think it's made up. That's what it looks like.
Wow. That's outside.
Yeah, it's outside.
I thought it was inside.
No, no, no. So like, I'm going to show it to the camera. The most demonic...
Does it have lights?
Beaming. Yeah, lights are in his eyes.
What?
Coming out of his eyes. So they call it, but hang on, what he's called? Blue Mustang. Blucifer. That's what it is.
Blucifer.
So they ended up calling him Blucifer because of the demon eyes and the weird mythology behind him killing his own sculptor.
That's a play on words.
Yeah, yeah. He's not really called Blucifer.
No, I'm saying that. It's not a pun.
Blue. Lucifer.
No, I get it. I'm saying, is it a play on words or a pun? I'm asking which kind of joke it is.
Huh.
Because you're the expert here.
I would think that's more wordplay. Because it doesn't feel like something that your like 7-year old would have come up with.
Because it's not a real
to me.
Word.
It's like if it could be on a Laffy Taffy, then it doesn't qualify. That's a dad joke.
We should ask Rick.
But Blucifer's like funny. Blucifer makes like, and you drink a little tiny thing of sherry.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, stay away from Denver Airport. There's some creepy things going on.
Moral of the story:
don't connect to Denver.
If you get there, look for the porter.
Look for the porter.
Take you out to Blucifer.
Maybe. I don't think that's where they. It'd be great if the bags just came out of the horse. Okay. Just standing waiting.
It's just like a conveyor belt just coming right out.
Yeah. Know?
That'd be weird. So, yeah. You know what's not weird, though, Johnny?
What's that?
Our website.
We talked about it earlier, but it's talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
Uh-huh.
208 archived episodes.
We think. I'm not real sure.
2010.
It's a long week.
It's a lot. But the point is, you can binge that while you head with your family to St. Augustine.
Yeah.
But listen, check the rental car seats for your $1.25.
Right. They're out there somewhere.
Somebody's out there. Maybe just like blocking the sun.
Take a pair of glasses, leave a pair of glasses. Like, it's one of
those
things.
It is. It's like a change dish.
Yeah. And just, that's good. Because if it's only $1. Do you know what happened, though? The guy cleaning out the car threw it away.
Yeah, probably.
And guys, we don't want you to do that with this episode or your
we
chance
want you
to leave
search
a review.
The house like a woman who lost a coin until you find that coin.
Yeah. And when you find it, go to our website and leave us a review, preferably a 5-star.
I was going to say spend the coin at Patreon.
Oh. Yeah.
Become a sponsor.
We're not taking crypto right now.
Oh.
But we'll take real money. Not that crypto is not real money.
Boy, we're going to have so many crypto bros come after us because we just don't know enough about it.
Sorry.
That's why we're ignorant. They've made so much money.
Your podcasts are probably way more successful than ours. It
probably
wouldn't
is.
Take much.
No.
So don't be bragging about it.
Hey.
Sorry.
Don't pick on our podcast.
I'm sorry.
I'm very proud of it.
Wow, obviously you've changed your tone a little bit. Don't get any criticisms today.
I'm just being contrarian.
He's like, no, it's
when you're positive, I have to go negative. So when you go negative, I'm like, oh, here we go. I got to be positive.
The key is I got to stay negative.
Yes.
Okay. Done. That's right. I've been fighting my whole life for the right to do that.
We need a contrarian politician because everybody's so mud now. Just mudslinging is all politics. Yeah. We need a guy to just become like so positive. That just like a Ted Lasso of politics.
That's what's crazy is now.
Just so, it's like something about that guy. He's always smiling.
But contrarianism becoming positivity.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't that say about our society?
It's the rebellious thing to have a positive outlook.
Wow.
Yeah.
Guys, and that's why we started this podcast. So you don't have to be a
part
of the rebellion.
That's the new punk rock.
No, wait.
Being positive.
Yeah, be a part of the rebellion.
Yeah.
The right rebellion. This is like the Star Wars rebellion. You want to be a rebel.
Yes.
In this particular case.
Don't be Darth Vader.
Right. The Empire.
Not that you could. There's only one Darth Vader and he's...
Well, there's been a lot of action figures.
That's true.
Like mini Darth Vaders. Lots of kids in their heart wanted to be Darth Vader for some reason. Not like the real Darth Vader. They just wanted to play.
That's fun.
So maybe they
force
did.
Choke
it would
their
be
parents.
Cool to pick things up with your mind.
Just because I'm lazy. Not even a matter of like using the force to run the vacuum.
See,
wouldn't that be something?
Do you know what, Johnny? And this will blow your mind. You know, if I had the ability to pick something up with my mind, you know what I would pick up the most?
What?
Myself. You know what I'm saying? Now I don't have to walk anymore.
Just float.
Just pick myself up and float wherever I want to go.
You would be the fattest Jedi in all
surely
the galaxy.
Surely if you have that kind of power, you can also just reshape your body. I don't know.
I don't think you understand the force at all. You're just going to be a weird, bloated Sith Lord.
Just floating around.
Yeah, is John really powerful? He is, but he just levitates fries into his mouth. That's all he ever...
Can I levitate, like when I eat wings and stuff gets through my teeth, can I levitate the pieces of wings out from beneath? Could you replace flossing?
You're like floating above the treadmill. It's on, but you're just not, you're not making contact. You're like, I can't lose these last 50 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. You're terrific, and we love you very much.
We have received a lot of amazing emails lately.
We have.
Yeah. And thank you, guys. Every one of them means a lot to us. I'm still doing the giveaway. I've given away a lot of books now.
Yeah.
But the deal remains. So if you'd like to be a part, if you're just willing to write an Amazon review of Not So Black and White, in fact, I'm going to open it up again because there's a huge deal right now as well on my other book, The Ultimate Guide for the Avid Indoorsman.
Okay.
So if you're interested in writing a review of that one, I'm going to open up a temporary giveaway for that one as well. So just email me at john@johndriver.com.
But jump on this deal while you can. The ARC door is closing. This will not be available forever, you guys.
Yeah, I'll send it to you, no cost. Just write an honest review on Amazon.
Where do they – oh, you have to write on Amazon.
Amazon's where we need you to write.
But then how, they leave their address, and that's how you know to get them?
They send me their address in the email.
Oh, I see.
Then I send them a book, and then they go to Amazon.
But did you give your email address out?
Yeah, I just did.
Oh.
john@johndriver.com. You weren't listening, apparently.
I'm sorry.
I just hope they are. You know, that's the key here. And then, you know, hey, follow Johnny and me both on Instagram. You can check out our Linktree with all of our stuff.
Yes.
Our Linktrees have everything. Linktree.com/JohnnyW.
No, just Johnny W.
Just Johnny W. And then Linktree.com/JohnDriver. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, check it out. Hey, send us things you would like for us to talk about as well. We always love listeners asking us questions and things we can do to expand. There's a lot of exciting things happening behind the scenes right now on the podcast. Maybe just say a prayer for the podcast. There's like cool things happening that we're kind of exploring right now.
Say a prayer for the podcast. We're on a path, and there's a principle of the path.
Yeah.
We want you to participate with us as we pay it forward and bring you proprietary
piles of profundity.
Boom.
Did you get that?
We did it.
I don't get to use the word profundity quite a bit as much as I would like, so I'm glad we worked it in here today.
Yeah,
so it's a little pretentious, but what are you going to do? So, it's pertinent. I can't help it. All right, guys. Hey, thank you for the time you spent. We'll see you next week on
Talk About That.
Is life feeling chaotic? I get it. I'm Rachel Wojo, host of the Untangling Life podcast. Don't miss the passionate encouragement and faith-based resources you need to help you clear your head and calm your heart. As Shell says, it feels like Rachel always knows what I need to hear. She keeps it real and is so humble. Her podcast is just the cherry on top. Enjoy Untangling Life with Rachel Wojo on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast app now.